Father, thank you for your people who are faithfully gathered here this morning, and thanks for the fellowship over morning tea. Thanks for the time before church as well, and I thank you for the many and varied ways that you are moving and growing your people in this place. And I pray that you continue to do that work, and I pray that you'd continue that this morning as we look at this passage and remember wonderful things at the center of what we hold most nearest and dearest as Christians. And I pray that these events would strike our hearts and minds afresh once more this morning, and we would leave with a very sure sense of how reliable these witnesses are and how these events truly are historic events that are world and life-changing. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Well, here's a statement I read on the internet. Research has shown that the performance of witnesses in depositions and during trial is the single most important factor in case outcomes. The site I referenced seemed to be one that was all about courtroom science and the psychology of what's happening in a courtroom. Probably David Gawthorne would be able to give a much better understanding of those things. In many court cases, expert witnesses are called in to establish the validity of certain events. Witnesses make a big difference. I don't know if you've seen the movie My Cousin Vinny. Anybody seen that movie? But it's a movie that I particularly like a lot. In that courtroom scene in that movie, there is a woman who is an extraordinary mechanic, and she has to give witness to a scene, and she's given a photo of tire marks at a crime scene, and just by looking at the tire marks at the crime scene, she's able to say, "I know your case, the prosecution's case, is going to fall over here because it's a certain type of car that could do this, not the one that that you're saying, because of things like limited slip diffs and things like that, that she could point out and say, it only came in this type of car that only became available in this year." You see, the idea is that the witness was able to make really important statements that drew towards conclusions that completely changed the case. Witnesses have a great deal of importance in the things that they say. And that's the way it's been throughout history. All of our history, we have historical witnesses to events. It doesn't matter if it's Greek wars or Roman conquests or events in the world wars. Our understanding of these things, we have witness accounts that we really hold on to. We know the importance of them. You know, people that were that saw Hiroshima or places like that, we really latch onto what they say because we know the significance of those witness statements. And it's the same of events in the Bible. We depend on witnesses who have passed down to us their accounts of the things that they saw. In my Bible, the publishers have added headings for different parts of the passages that we read today. I meant to have a slide with those headings up, and I forgot to do that. Here's the headings that were in my Bible. The empty tomb. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Jesus appears to his disciples. Jesus appears to Thomas. The purpose of John's gospel. And it reads very linearly about what it's about as it does that. Because what it's saying is, here's the facts. There was an empty tomb. And then it says, well, here's someone who saw the effects. That was someone who saw Jesus. Here's another person who saw Jesus. And there's all of these witnesses to that fact. And then at the end, John trots out the reason for all of this. Well, this is important because... And that's how this passage reads, how the Gospel of John reads. First, the facts. There was an empty tomb after Jesus died. And much has been made of that, rightfully so, over the centuries because of its significance. Mary went to the tomb while it was still dark. And she saw the stone removed from the entrance. These are big stones. I'm led to believe they rolled downhill into position. which meant that you had to roll it uphill to get it out of the way. And they were guarded by Roman guards who were supposed to be on watch. So it's a really significant thing that that stone's gone, that the tomb's empty. And Matthew's gospel says it was an angel that moved it. Peter and another disciple, and we understand that to be John, then ran to the tomb to witness for themselves. They heard what Mary said, and they said, "We're going." And they ran. And big things are afoot in that moment, and you need your eyes on it. So they're there with their eyes to see what it is that's happened. And they see the tomb empty, and we've got more witnesses that have added to our understanding of these events. And that's really important because we're not just hearing it from one person. Now we've got Peter, now we've got John. And John says that when he went in verse 8, and Dean stole my thunder, and that's a good thing, but he went in and he saw and believed. Now those two things are really put in together. He saw something and it had an effect. It drew him to faith. Witnessing led to significant conviction of the significance of these events and the nature of who Jesus is as a result. And so these disciples go back to where they're staying. And we see Mary again. Mary is still at the tomb. She's crying and she sees Jesus. And it's the most tender, compassionate encounter. It's a wonderful moment. And a heart soothed and filled with hope. And then she recognizes, she sees who it is she's talking to. She sees Jesus. Next part of the witness statement. She thought he was a gardener to start with, but she became a direct witness to the risen Jesus. And that's a significant statement that John's putting before us. But he adds to this. There's a gathering of disciples behind closed doors who are in fear of persecution from the authorities. So they're cowering there. They're in fear. And John's not afraid to show the weakness of these disciples in this moment. He gives it to you straight and raw. Here's some people that are just done. They're beaten and they've lost hope. Here they are cowering. And then John shows a change in them. He says Jesus showed them his hands and his side, which had been wounded in the crucifixion. He says that the disciples were overjoyed, these emotions that Dean talked about, overjoyed to see Jesus. And Jesus breathed peace on them, and he sent them out on mission. And suddenly a group of cowering, fearful disciples are set on fire, able to go out. And you know that something significant has happened and changed them. Next, Jesus appears to one of them who wasn't at that gathering. I love this because there's always going to be skeptics about things that are said. Here's a skeptic, Thomas, who said he wouldn't believe unless he saw with his own eyes and put his fingers in the holes in Jesus' hands. And so Jesus calls Thomas to put his fingers in his side and in the place where the nails were. It's kind of bizarre, but it's concrete evidence that Thomas wants. And he comes to this unavoidable conclusion. From his own eyes, from his touch, and he sees and he believes. And he says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Witness, significance, response. My Lord and my God. You see, there's no place for diminished thinking when it comes to who Jesus is after witnessing him risen to life. That's too big a deal to just put it in the ordinary. And John wants us to hear the evidence of numerous witnesses corroborating each other from different backgrounds, including skeptics. And he wants us to see how all of these come to this fact, this conclusion that Jesus truly rose. And if Jesus rose, then that's a world-changing event. And Jesus is truly significant. Now, John concedes that Jesus recognized how it's harder to hear from witnesses secondhand rather than putting your fingers in the hands yourself or seeing. He says that because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. All of this is heading towards believing. John saw an empty tomb and believed. Mary said, I've seen the Lord alive. She believed. The disciples all saw Jesus. They were overjoyed with their comprehension of that enormous fact, and they believed that Jesus is far more than a man. He is something remarkably special. Thomas, who said he wouldn't believe unless he saw and touched, he believed that Jesus was risen to life. So this is where we reach with these eyewitnesses, a place where we're asked to come to terms with the things that we hear from eyewitnesses. And John doesn't beat around the bush with where we're supposed to go with this. John makes it clear where we're supposed to go with faith. He says he could have added further to the record of things that Jesus did, but what has been recorded is there for our benefit so that we would reach the same conclusions they did. They are there so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, God's King, the Son of God. And he says something else. It's not just a matter of faith. This has got significant benefits following on. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. See, this is a wonderful truth that Christians have, that there are two things here, believing and life that comes through that faith. It's not a static truth that just holds true for this moment and is done. This is life-changing and altering. It will change who you are, give you life in your being. And Jesus rising to life means all of that. Now, Christians say this is the crunch point for all people. And there have been plenty of skeptics that have been asked to believe this in the past. One of those was an investigative journalist. His name was Lee Strobel, and his wife became a Christian, and he hated that. He hated that his wife had become a Christian. And so he went on this journey to try and disprove his wife's faith. And he thought, what's the thing that's going to really knock that down? The resurrection of Jesus. If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, it's all a nonsense. This is a DVD. There's three of them, including this one, which I'll put up the back. I'd love to see them go. Sorry, there's another one. There's a fourth one, apparently. So love to see them go. They're free. They're going to be at the back, but it's the story of him going on that journey. I'd love you to take it away. There is also a book called The Case for Easter, which is just part of the bigger book that he wrote, but it's particularly about the Easter event. So this is The Case for Easter, written by him. And you see, the reason I put that before you is because I'm guessing there's probably some skeptics in the room. And I'd love you to go away and check it out for yourself and really get to grips with whether this is true or not, because it is the crunch point. And if you're just a skeptic without having checked it out, then that's really not a very strong place to be. Check it out for yourself. There's too much on the line here. John says that he wants you to believe so that you might have life. And there is true life for God's people through believing in these things. A couple more things, because I just love advertising free things. There's a kid's book about Mary encountering the gardener. So if you've got kids, we've got a ton of those. So just grab as many as you've got grandkids or whatever. Just grab that and take it away. And I think there's still a few of these Colin Buchanan DVDs for kids too. So grab those. Love to see them go. Right now, I'm going to pray for us, for wherever we are on that journey, that we'd look into these things, take them on board, and know this life that comes from Jesus for ourselves. Let me do that now. Father God, I don't know where people are at on their journey of faith, but you do. And I pray that you'd reach into this moment in their lives, wherever they're at, and speak into them, into their life, the truth that these witnesses all trotted out. Father, a lot of people held to the truth of these things and went to the Roman circus and lost their lives holding on to the truth. A lot of people suffered for holding this as truth. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to do the due diligence of checking out the reliability of the evidence that is before us. I pray that we'd hear the truths that these witnesses put before us, look into these things, encounter the truth of a God who loves them immeasurably, has sent Jesus into this world for them. He went to the cross and died a terrible death in their place, and because he rose to new life, he brings the promise of life to them. Not just a life in the future, but a new life in this moment, a transformed life that comes from God's Spirit at work in our lives. And Father, our heart's deepest prayer is that more and more people would know this truth for themselves and know life, new life in you. I pray this in your name and for your glory. Amen.